Everyone's a Finkel friend on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Get ready for another heapo of fascinating things to know from witty and intriguing people on Judd's Napa Valley Show. No stale script and no rehearsing, live from a Napa studio. You may be that intriguing person on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Pardon me, I'll have a Chardonnay. A marvelous date, it's hard to say. I know we never talk about the Sauvignon Blanc. It's a must-have on the podcast. It's Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Easier, the Pinot Grigio.
You can't ease this flow if I elaborate over a Cabernet. My buddy's the truth. You should study my man Juddy and learn something new.
Friends and Judd's Hill Wine make a great blend. And now, live from the 1440 KVON studios at Broadcast Park in the beautiful Napa Valley, it's Judd's Napa Valley Show. I'm Lauren Mole, and here's your host, Judd Finkelstein!
Lauren Mole, man, how are you, sir? That was a great intro, and I like your little bit about the blend. That's true. Good friends and wine and... yeah, what else do you need? Probably food, but we won't get into the technical. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Judd. Happy New Month to you.
Happy New Month. We're in October. What's going on in the world of Lauren Mole?
Well, I recently just got done on an annual family boating trip with my grandparents and my uncle from San Pablo.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Oh, man, Judd, it was fabulous. And it was also my grandparents' 66th wedding anniversary.
Wow, that's impressive.
And I hope they're listening online right now in Lake Elmanor, which is 5 hours away from here.
Yep, that's by car.
Yes, precisely.
Okay. There are other modes. I mean, hey, where'd you go boating? I want to know. I've recently discovered the joys of boating myself.
We actually went boating on the McCollumy River, which is on the Sacramento Delta. I look forward to this every year.
That's a beautiful piece of land out there.
It is.
We get some Zinfandel grapes out there right along the McCollumy River.
Right on.
Beautiful. Right. How long were you out there?
Saturday and Sunday.
Nice. Do you spend the night on the boat?
No, we didn't spend the night on the boat. We have an annual potluck dinner to follow.
Well, that's great. Fun family traditions.
It is. It was a lot of fun. Looking forward to next year.
Good.
So what's been going on with you, Judd? Wait, didn't you actually recently record a spot for one of our future next door neighbors?
I did. I was asked to record a commercial, yes, for Napa Sport down here.
Well, you did a great job.
Thanks. Have you heard it?
I've heard it myself.
I haven't heard the spot run. It was fun to do. I got called in last week after the show. Come on into the studio, record a little something, and had a good time doing it. I got to put on my announcer voice. You know, come on down for great steaks and custom cut chops. I didn't really talk
Well, you still did a good job.
Well, thanks. Look, this is all fun and games, but we've got serious things to talk about. And of course,
oh, we do.
It is sailing on San Francisco Bay is what we want to talk about. I got to go for my first time this weekend, and the sailing bug has caught me. I now know a jib from a jibe and a aft from a fore, and it is exciting, let me tell you. You look thrilled. So let's not talk about it anymore. Let's get into today's subject. We'll talk about sailing later. I want to get to this. This is fun. Please introduce today's topic.
Are you a moving picture explorer? Then dig our guess. Not one, a snorer. Prepare for a shiver as these guys deliver their tips for the best in cinema horror.
That's right. Today's show is all about scary movies. It is October. Today is the 2nd, and it is a beautiful gray Napa Valley day.
Yep.
It's the perfect day to talk about horror movies. Joining me in studio is a local artist, and he also happens to be the, let me make sure I got this right, the copy desk editor.
Copy desk chief.
Chief, excuse me. And
wire editor.
Copy desk
chief. At the Napa Valley Register.
That's it. It's Kelly Doran.
Yep.
And
hello, folks.
On the telephone, all the way from Hollywood, California, it is a man. I'm looking forward to hearing his perspective in horror films because it's what he does for a living. He is the social media manager and programming manager of screenbox.com. It's Eyal Aloni. Eyal, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, guys?
Right on. I think. Can everybody hear him?
Yep. Can hear him.
I can.
Fantastic. Then that means our audience can too, I hope. Welcome. We're here to talk about horror films, and this is something that's a bit near and dear to me. There was a time as a teenager I was very into this genre. I used to read Fangoria magazine, yeah. Which is, we can discuss what that is in a minute, but it's about horror films and special effects. I used to host a regular kind of party we'd put on when I was a student at St. Helena High School called Horror Fest, and we'd watch two or three, to use the overly used word, curated films. You know, we'd put together an evening of entertainment, then have quizzes about them after and give away scary prizes.
Nice.
Really into it, although lately I found myself drifting away. So this was a good chance to watch some films over the last week in preparation to talk to you guys. And I'm excited. I am really stoked. Let's get into this. I'm not exactly sure what to talk about first, because horror is such – it's like an umbrella word.
Exactly.
There is so much to be said about the genre and subgenres and you know, Kelly, you're sitting right here, so I'm looking at you, and I'd like to get your take on maybe what horror is, and I'd also like to find out, like, how you got into this. Give us your credentials, your pedigree. Why are you the guy sitting here?
I've been into horror films since I was little. I grew up on them. My dad loved scary movies, he grew up during the Depression era, and he saw Frankenstein, the 1931 Frankenstein, in the theaters, and he told me stories about walking home terrified down the middle of the street in Oakland, just out of his mind, thinking that the monster was going to come and get him. And he showed me those movies. He showed me on, you know, Saturday afternoon matinees and Creature Features, which was the Bay Area horror film show that was on late night with Bob Wilkins.
Yeah.
I grew up with those. I grew up with the Hammer horror films with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. And then I got into like the more gory stuff with Fangoria magazine when I was in junior high. And I've just always loved them. A lot of people don't like horror films. They don't like to be scared, but I dig it. I love being scared. My wife's one of those people that doesn't like being scared, but I do. And we have this running joke in my house that, you know, because there's these videos that are on YouTube of people getting the bejesus scared out of them by friends. And I said, you can do that. You just have to videotape me I want to see my reaction.
You've given her permission to do that, too.
Yeah, and she's so nice. She won't do it. She doesn't do that. But she does it unintentionally. She'll walk up in back of me making noise, but I'm, you know, in another world, and she'll, you know, give me a hug while I'm doing the dishes, and I'll jump out of my skin. But
scary hug.
Yeah, my reaction to being scared is to laugh. I have like a nervous laugh when I get scared, but I love it. It's just, I've always liked those kind of whistling in the graveyard kind of dark side of life. Not gory, not, you know, horrific. I mean, I think it's almost a way to inoculate myself against like real scary things.
That's interesting that you say that. And Eyal, I'm going to come to you kind of with a similar question, but the fact that you mentioned that, Kelly, is I think that's why I drifted away from horror. It's because I have so many other worries life about the state of the world, whatever it is, you know, that keeps me up at night. I don't want to exacerbate the stress, you know, so I drifted way more towards comedies. But there's a place in my heart for this. This is why I'm very excited to be talking today.
Yeah, I almost think it's like a release.
Yeah.
It's almost like a release valve. You know, yeah, I'm pent up. I have anxiety problems. Who doesn't nowadays? But, you know, horror films are a way for me to, you know, just kind of release some of that pent up anxiety.
Sure.
So
that makes a lot of sense. And you, it comes through in your art as well.
Yes.
In fact, I'll give that a plug right now, only because if folks want to kind of follow along, if you're sitting near a computer, you can see some of Kelly's artwork. He's an artist and an illustrator. You've got a blog. Do you want to talk 31 Days of Monsters?
Yeah, every October. I've been doing this for quite a, I think probably about 5 or 6 years now. Every October, starting on October 1st, I draw a different monster from folklore, mythology, urban legend, you know, different regional monsters from around the United States. Because everybody's hometown has some sort of weird creature out in the woods that, you know, they warn each other about,
right.
You know. But I do one drawing a day. I post it on my blog, and usually at the end of the year, I will produce a book that, you know, I put together all of the monsters in a little art book that I give out to people or offer for sale. But
and if folks want to see your blog while they're listening or right after the show, we don't want you to tune out. But kellydoren.blogspot.com, and that's KellyDoren. blogspot.com.
And I'm also on Instagram at kelly.doran.
There you go. And Eyal, I promise we're going to get to you. Kelly brought something else up too. I think it's worth mentioning here for our local audience, especially. You talk about regional monsters. You were the one leading the charge when our Napa High School gave up, decided to change their mascot from the Indians, long-standing Napa High Indians, to something new, mm-hmm. and you were leading the charge. I loved it. I was behind you 100% to the Napa
Rebobs.
The Napa Rebobs. Eyal, have you ever heard of the Napa Rebobs?
I have not. What is that?
Okay, there you go. This is ripe for horror movie making, I think, right now. Do you want to explain what a rebob is, Kelly?
The rebobs are flying monkeys, terrifying flying monkeys that live up on one of our rural roads in West Napa, Partrick's Road, out in Browns Valley. It's this urban legend that these, if you go up there at night and you go to make out or drink beer or whatever kids do, if you go out there at night, these flying monkeys will come down and attack you and, you know, rip into your car and, you know, terrorize you. And it's just this great image of these little monkeys with these bat wings and
they're
fangs.
They're bloodsuckers.
Oh, yeah, they're bloodthirsty creatures.
Yeah,
no?
Absolutely. I believe it was because there was a scientist back during the 40s creating, you know, during World War II era experimentation, created these.
Yeah,
I'm not sure on accident or on purpose, but they've been let loose and only...
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly. And only at this one road in Napa will you encounter them. And actually, a couple of years ago on this very show, during our Halloween episode, I don't have the exact date, but if you look back on the iTunes, you can scroll back and it says, we had a man in here who had a firsthand account of the Rebobs. So, Kelly, you had lobbied for the Rebobs to be our next mascot for Napa High.
Yeah,
and I loved it because it was very specific to Napa. No one else would have this. It's fierce. It speaks to our local community and... I was behind you, but they went in another direction.
Yeah, they went in another direction.
Okay.
There is the possibility, I heard from somebody after that whole thing, that Redwood is also possibly, I rumored to have been considering changing their mascot, so it could end up being the Redwood Rebobs.
Well, let's get in on it. Eyal Aloney calling in from Hollywood, California. So you... Sir, you're in the business of horror movies, which is that's got to be pretty fun. You must dig that gig. Have you been a horror guy from way back? I know you have a background in film and screenwriting. Can we talk a little bit about your background and how you got into this?
You know, like Kelly, I've been a horror fan since I was a kid, and you know, my parents weren't particularly responsible. So they would record horror films for me on the old VHS.
Yeah.
I still can't believe they allowed this, but I had a life-size Freddy Krueger poster that I put on the outside of my bedroom door. The reason I put it on the outside is so my sister would have to walk past it to get to her bedroom. I was a terrible, terrible child.
You are a tormentor. Now, are you older or younger than your sister?
I am 5 years older than her.
Oh, so tormenting the little sister.
Yeah, well.
Tormenting the little sister, right, yeah. And she still brings it up. She still
I'll bet she does.
I'll bet she, at therapy sessions. And.
Oh, so if I could do it all again, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's how that usually works. So let's get into your... okay, yikes. I want to save your sister a little bit of grief here. I don't know if she's listening or not, but we'll just say hi. We love you. So how did you get called into the world of film?
I just always loved movies growing up. I didn't really know what I wanted to do in that world, but I knew I wanted to be a part of it. And I, you know, did a lot of theater in college and then, you know, moved to L.A. and thought, well, I'll figure it out eventually. I did what many people do when they move to L.A. and you know, sent out headshots all day long.
Oh.
And then I thought, well, you know, I don't think I went to college just to put a headshot in an envelope and put a stamp on it. So I wanted to create more, so I started putting on plays and doing some writing, and eventually, you know, I ended up at film school, mostly because I'd been laid off and had no idea what to do. So this was just a spur-of-the-moment decision to apply for film school, and was fortunate enough to get in at UCLA, and just have been writing ever since.
Amazing. How'd you get yourself into what you do now? Basically, you... Well, why don't you tell us what it is you do? You're the program manager. Does that mean you spend your days watching horror films and selecting ones for the channel? What is it you do?
I watch a lot of horror films. I watch a lot of trailers. A lot of people, you know, will contact me to submit their film for consideration for our site. So yeah, I'm watching. My eyes get a good workout every week. So basically, what I do programming and social media. So I spend a lot of time on Facebook and Twitter. And the programming part is essentially, you know, content curation. I work with a bunch of content partners to choose the material for our site. And so you can, you know, blame me or applaud me for what's up there. we've got, if I can do a little plug.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask you to tell us a little bit about Screambox. So let's hear what it is.
Screambox, I mean, think of it as Netflix, but just for horror movies.
Okay.
So instead of Netflix and chill, we say Screambox and kill. You get it? Okay. and it's October, as you know, John.
Yes.
And so in October, we usually do a big promotion, and we just did a big deal with a company called Terror Films, and we've got 30 new movies coming out, and coming up the week of October 15th, we have a promotion called 13 Screams to Halloween. And what that is every weekday from the 15th to Halloween, we're going to publish a new movie that you can watch for free. If you're not a subscriber, you can still watch that movie for free for that day. If you are a subscriber, you get to watch them all.
Great.
So we'll be putting up a new one every weekday from the 15th through the 31st.
Fun.
So look out for that. Look out. Check our social media next week. Our Facebook and Twitter handles at ScreenboxTV. And to check there for more info on what's happening, when that's going to start, and what titles are going to be up on the site.
Okay, very cool. Now, with Screambox, is there a certain audience you're going for, or is there a certain type of content that you're looking for? You know, I guess what I'm trying to say, do you specialize in a certain genre within horror, or is it a very wide, wide reach within the horror genre?
It's wide. I mean, I think you said earlier that there are a lot of different subgenres within horror. I would argue there's probably more subgenres within horror than any other genre.
Okay.
You know, like we have a killers section, but if you go into the killers section, you know, there's slashers and psychos and crime. And, you know, if you like movies that take place in the woods about people getting chased with axes, we have a backwoods butchers section.
So you break it down into very specific
really
little subgenres, and that's great.
Well, we try to play to the diehard horror fan who is not just looking for you know, Halloween and Friday the 13th, and while those are awesome, if you're a diehard horror fan, you've seen those movies a million times over. So what we love to do is introduce people to new horror that's come out in the last couple of years. And also, we'll put things up there that, a lot of pretty religious horror fans will like the, the campy stuff, too. I don't know if you've heard of a movie called Thanksgiving.
that one?
Yeah. Isn't that the one about the killer turkey?
The killer turkey, yes, of course.
Lauren, what do you think?
Well, we got stuff like that. We got some classics. But it's more about, just not the casual horror fan, but more of the people who just can't get enough of it and want to know what's out there and still love the, quote unquote, so bad that they're good films. So a little bit of everything.
Okay, I know Lauren's favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. We talk about it every year, and the look came on his face when you said Thanksgiving. So what did you think about that? Have you seen this movie, Lauren?
I have no comment.
No comment. Would you care to see a movie about a killer turkey?
No.
Okay. What wine would you pair with that turkey? Okay, never mind. Well, should we get into it then? I mean, I know a lot of folks were tuning in today to maybe get some ideas of some different movies that might be fun to watch.
Sure.
My challenge was just because you mentioned there's so many subgenres, where do we start? It is a very broad subject. For me, my tastes at the moment, I really like classic stuff at the moment. I tend to skew back towards the 30s through maybe the early 70s when I look for my horror. Once we got into the 80s, I got a kick out of Friday the 13th and, maybe even more so Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, obviously it was a pop culture phenomenon with Freddy Krueger. And the reason they were actually for kind of gross out teen slasher films, they were kind of fun and they had some dark comedy in them as well, which I could appreciate at that age. I think if I was younger than, I don't remember, I was probably in my mid-teens when I saw my first one, but if I was younger, I would have not liked it at all, but as a teen, I could appreciate the humor in it. But I like going back. In fact, just this past week, I revisited something I hadn't seen forever, 1932, White Zombie, Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
The hands when he's doing the the incantation that, he hypnotizes people.
That's exactly it. And it apparently was not met with much critical success. People thought it was pretty weak. The acting, I guess these people had been silent film stars, and so it was very stilted acting. Those were reviews I looked up that came out when the movie came out, but now that there's 80-something years between then and now, I thought it was great. I thought it spoke to that period. I absolutely loved the way that who was it? Victor Halperin, I believe, is the director of that. The way he used light and shadows.
Yeah, they were very
gorgeous,
very expressive with their lighting, and just the visuals in those old movies was amazing.
It was very fun to see basically what amounted to the very first zombie movie.
Yeah,
that was kind of the beginning of the genre of the zombie movie, where Bela Lugosi plays this. His name is Murder. That's the character's name. Murder Legende, I don't know. It takes place in Haiti. And he has this formula that turns people into zombies. It's not based on, modern zombies where it's a outbreak of some disease and they turn into these flesh-eating monsters. It basically turns them into mindless slaves.
Yeah, it's the voodoo type of zombies.
Right. They're not murderous zombies. They will just obey their master and whatever their master wants to do. And in this case, Bela Lugosi is a bit of an evil zombie slave master and has some nefarious goals. Ton of fun. And I like the way, not only the way it looked, but even for that era, his use of music or lack of. There's a scene where the one of the characters goes to visit Bela Lugosi at the sugar mill that he runs with zombie slave labor. And while they're talking, all you hear is this groan of the sugar mill creaking and moaning while the zombies, are cranking it. And these guys are having this very nefarious conversation. This is good stuff.
Yeah, they were great filmmakers back then.
Yeah. Well, how about you guys? Universal horror films? Anything of that era that really strikes you?
I love Night of the Demon, which was with, I believe, Dana Andrews was in that.
Dana Andrews.
It's based on, I think it's Arthur Machen's Casting the Runes. And it's just this great atmospheric story. There's Dana Andrews plays this scientist who's called. There's a like a Aleister Crowley type magician living in England who people are beginning to get worried. And Dana Andrews is a he's a debunker. He debunks these people, and he finds that this magician is the real deal.
Oh,
and much to his doom.
Uh-oh.
In the movie.
Uh-oh.
And it's great. It's just got great sound effects, sound design. Sound is underrated in movies, I believe. I don't think a lot of people realize that you can be terrified by the sound, or like you were talking about, the lack of sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the nowadays it's all about these, you know, punctuating everything with an intense sound to let the audience know that you're about to be scared.
Right. There's some cues there, like, okay, this is your chance to be scared. But there are directors, I've heard Coppola speak up here at the Cameo Cinema about the importance of just sound and sound quality.
Yeah.
And then you watch Kubrick films, and he uses lack of sound.
Oh, yeah.
To great effect in 2001, A Space Odyssey, The Silence of Space. The Shining, when Danny's riding his big wheel down the hallway.
Just the sound of
the
wheels.
Of the carpet and the wood over the wheels. It's creepy as heck.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Hey, y'all, anything... any of the classics that strike you, or any, you know, you can talk about anything. This is a conversation. You can talk about anything you want.
I'll put in a vote for the 1932 Cinematic Achievement Freaks.
Oh, Todd Browning.
Todd Browning. Yeah. Both of us just got all excited on that one. That was a movie way ahead of its time and probably still ahead of its time. That would still be a tough one to watch for a lot of modern audiences. Why don't you talk a little bit about that film and what made it so... perverse and delicious to horror movie fans?
Well, first of all, it's uncomfortable in a way because the cast is, you know, the cast actually all have some sort of disfigurement or something of that nature. And, you know, you sort of, I've seen it plenty of times and you get this sort of like uncomfortable feeling that it's kind of exploitative. But at the same time, just the cool thing is that it's a love story, but, you know, it's not, I feel like they would never do this today, right? Like, today you got to have Jennifer Aniston and Hugh Jackman. But, you know, an actual love story with people who are not necessarily incredibly beautiful and that hits the same themes is... There's something sweet about it. I don't know. It hits me on many different levels. Discomfort, cuteness, you know, the sweetness of it. And then, of course, you know, being turned into a chicken. That's spoiler alert.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, if you're watching that, I don't think that's going to... If you can make it through the movie, that part's not going to be the disturbing part. And not much of a surprise either. You can kind of see what's coming. It is pretty amazing. I remember seeing that in college and thinking it did make me very uncomfortable because these people, the actors you got, the movie's called Freaks. And at that time, I mean, circuses and sideshows had what they called freak shows.
Yeah,
and these were the people, I mean, they took these actors, quote unquote actors, from these shows. So that you're seeing the real deal. And it's for a movie, it has a great effect on the audience. I think disturbed and...
I think a lot of it also comes from like an early form of political correctness, because at that age, you know, you were it feels like exploitative, but a lot of people at that time that were in freak shows, they were happy. They, you know, life had kind of dealt them a bad hand, and some of them were like, yeah, this is a great way to make a living. I can afford things.
I imagine there's some truth. I can't speak to all their experiences.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of their experiences were terrible and terrifying, but you know.
But at least in this movie, it shows them kind of as a family and they're all bonded, and,
yeah, and
that's kind of nice, I suppose.
It kind of subverts what you expect when you go into that movie, because you expect, oh, the freaks are going to be the evil in the movie, and it kind of flips that on its head a little bit, so.
That's indeed.
Interesting.
I'm sorry to cut it now. We got to take a break.
Okay.
The time flies by. But hang on, folks. We're talking horror movies with local artist and horror movie buff Kelly Doran. And Eyal Aloni is joining us by phone. He's the programming and social media manager of Screambox.com. Hang out.
You're listening to Judd's Napa Valley Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Every once in a while, bam! Something happens and you need money fast. Well, LoanMe can loan you from $2,600 to $100,000, and the money can be in your bank account in hours. That's right. And since our loans are unsecured, we don't need your car title or any other collateral, just your signature, because we trust you, even if you have less than perfect credit. Sure, the money's a little expensive, but it's a lot cheaper than a payday loan, and you make just one fixed payment every month. And to keep interest expense down, use the money to get out of the jam you're in and then pay it back at any time with no penalties or fees. So take 5 minutes and call 844-7-LOAN-ME or log on to loanme.com for the money you need. That's 844-7-LOAN-ME or loanme.com.
Not all applicants will qualify. Loan approval and terms subject to credit standards. See loanme.com for details. Loans made pursuant to California Department of Business Oversight Finance Lender License 603K061.
That's 844-7-LOAN-ME or loanme.com.
Housing discrimination. Would you recognize it and report it? These folks did.
My landlord said rent will be cheaper if we're friends with benefits.
Because I'm legally blind, a landlord questioned whether I'd be capable of maintaining an apartment.
Our real estate agent said a different neighborhood with people like us might better suit our family.
If you think you've been discriminated against, contact your local Fair Housing Center. Fair Housing is your right. Use it.
Call Fair Housing Napa Valley at 707-224-9720.
This is Auntie Dorothy, Dorothy Salmon, and today in the Napa Valley on 1440 KVON. You'll be listening to local leaders who are very important to your past, your present, and your future, and all the great things that are happening here in our valley. Join me on Monday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1440 AM KVON. Today in the Napa Valley. Be engaged.
Judd's Napa Valley Show. Every episode, a veritable cornucopia of Finkel fun.
Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show.
You're listening to Judd's Napa Valley Show.
It is Judd's Napa Valley Show, and today we are ushering in October with cinematic horror speak, and I'm being joined by Kelly Doran, and he's a local horror movie expert, artist, and by phone, Eyal Aloni, the programming and social media manager of Screambox.com, a horror movie streaming service, and we were just getting into some classic horror from back in the 1930s, and where should we go now? We can keep talking that. We can just talk about some favorites. You want to go chronological? You want to go subject by subject, like ghost stories or vampires? Anything that you've seen lately that struck you? Anything that has stuck with you since you were a kid? Let's just talk about it all. I'm excited about all this. This is fun.
I think the movie that's most recently, the movie that I've seen that actually stuck with me after a couple of days was I think it's fresh out of theaters now, but Hereditary.
I have not seen that.
It really kind of stuck in my brain for a couple of days. And it's a very, I like, my taste in horror films goes towards, I mean, I love monster movies, movies that have a really inventive monster, but I really go after movies that have, I don't know, they've got everything. They've got, you know, style, they've got creativity. I mean, because there's so many horror films nowadays that are very well, they're done cheaply, they're done very quickly to kind of, you know, cash in on things, and I feel it's this disrespected genre that, like, movies don't really get a lot of credibility. I mean, when was the last time you saw a horror film get an Academy Award? You know, they don't even get nominated.
Right, right.
And some of them are incredibly creative, and they're, you know, they don't get a lot of money to produce them. So they've got to be very, you know, original with their techniques and styles. And I love finding little gems like that. Well, I mean, Hereditary was a critical success.
Well, let's talk about it for a second, because Eyal, I heard some audible agreement there. I haven't seen the film, so I'd love to hear you guys maybe discuss it for a moment.
Sure.
Go for it.
Yeah, I
don't know what to ask.
I agree with Kelly. I mean, hopefully things are going to start changing. You know, the Get Out got the screenwriting Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully things will turn around, but you know, what I'm noticing, which is kind of, disheartening a little bit, you know, on the part of critics, they're calling, you know, certain horror films like Hereditary prestige horror.
Yeah.
You know, Hereditary or, A Quiet Place, movies like that. The implication being that, you know, everything else is kind of schlocky, and not worth our time, but I kind of, first of all, I loved Hereditary. A movie hasn't creeped me out like that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to gravitate toward movies with a sense of humor, and Hereditary is not that.
Oh, no.
No. Like, I don't know if you remember a movie that came out last year called Happy Death Day.
Oh, I heard that was supposed to be really good. I haven't seen that yet.
It's super entertaining. I mean, and a lot of movies that are also comedic are not necessarily scary, but they can be very entertaining, and to me, those are the movies that really don't get as much respect as they should. But that's the kind of thing I like. I mean, my favorite horror movie is Jaws, and there's humor all the way through that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I like that sort of relief that you get, and, you know, the movie doesn't take itself too seriously.
Well, it's a spectacular film, Jaws. Huh? I mean, it's a wonderfully made film.
It's Jaws. A great adventure. It's a great character study of these different characters. It is a great film. It's no wonder it was such a success.
And it's incredibly suspenseful.
Yes.
Without having the jump scares, it creates this tension that just builds and builds, and you feel more. You're scared without anything jumping out at you,
right,
to scare you. It's more of an idea.
Dark until what, an hour in or so?
Yeah, I mean, you see I think you maybe see the fin, but I mean, you don't see the actual, you know, creature, the full, you know, thing until like they're on the boat. And it does. It has humor in it. There's some great funny moments in that.
He knew when to step off the accelerator a little bit and give people a quick break. Okay, give them a laugh here.
Right.
Get them at ease, and then we're just going to build it up again.
Yeah, Hereditary, like we were talking about, it's not – there might be like one or two things in that movie that make you kind of, oh, okay, you know, this isn't so dark. But it's a fairly intense, dark movie. It's brilliant, but overall an intense movie. But then there's movies like one of my favorites, which is Shaun of the Dead, which is a great, you know, it's a great parody of the zombie movies
while being a very well-made zombie movie.
And it's funny. It's hilarious. And, you know, Simon Pegg is now in another movie that's coming out soon called The Slaughterhouse Rules, which is kind of another take on the zombie vampire invasion type of thing, you know, but it's at a British boarding school.
Oh yeah.
So, and he plays one of the teachers. So that's coming out. I mean, there's some good horror comedies.
Well, bring me back to horror comedy.
Sure.
Cause I want to talk about that for sure, but I want to say, can you put your finger on what it was about Hereditary? You said it stuck with you still after a few days.
There are a couple of scenes where they, like, this unspeakable tragedy happens to this family, and the way they tell you it happened is so original, where you hear somebody make this horrific discovery off screen. And Toni Collette she nails it with her character in that movie, and when she makes this discovery, you're focused on her son, who is traumatized already, and he's in bed, and you hear her make this discovery, and she's shrieking outside, and you hear it, and it's like a gut punch.
Ugh.
And it's just, I mean, she was amazing in that movie. And there's some transitions that have to do with, like, her emotions and her expressions that are just unbelievable that she could do that. And it must have been exhausting for that woman to...
Who's behind this?
I can't remember the director's name, but it was brilliant. It was an absolute brilliant movie, and it's a kicker. It's great.
Well, maybe I'll put it on the list. I'm a little hesitant these days to some of these. I like movies, like you say, with a little bit of humor. I like atmospheric horror more than I like jump scare or gore or people in, you know, getting, you know, tortured. I just really don't like that type of stuff. But atmosphere.
No torture porn for you, John.
No, yeah, for sure not. Yeah. No. I can't. You know, I can. I guess I appreciate the style. Like I've seen. What was Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand?
The House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, you know, I watched that, and I left thinking, okay, that's... I get that that was good for that, but I don't ever need to see that again or something like that. It was just this... I got this yucky feeling
inside. You feel dirty sometimes
after
some movies.
And it was hard to shake, you know?
Yeah. But well, I'm kind of with you on that one.
What's that, Al?
Judd, I'd have to recommend for you, actually, the Human Centipede.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Somehow I don't think that's up Judd's alley there.
Surely you jest.
No.
Hey, I have not seen it. Yeah. Laugh riot. Laugh a minute. I do know what that's about, and it's, you know, on purpose. I've avoided that one. You know, I watched recently, in fact, just years ago, but then again this past week, as I wanted to revisit it, was House on Haunted Hill, 1959, William Castle directed, starring Vincent Price.
Yep.
Another wonderful classic horror film. It doesn't have the jump scares. It's just this feeling of foreboding. These people who are strangers to one another get invited to a haunted house party, which in and of itself is already creepy. Like, why don't they know each other? What does this man have planned? You know, the Vincent Price character assembles them all. They don't know each other. None of them have ever met the Vincent Price character. So what is about to unfold? I mean, just the premise is kind of creepy. And then it just builds and builds from there.
And you see him interact with his wife, and you can tell there's some bad blood between those two. And
there is.
How does that play into it?
And yeah, what's going to happen with this part of the story arc? So something I would definitely recommend if you're listening here in Napa Valley and have a special appreciation for wine cellars. There's some, as Joe Bob Briggs would say, it has some good wine cellar foo. Yeah. There's some good scenes take place in the wine cellar of that house. That's house.
Yeah, which has inexplicably a pit of acid in the wine cellar. Like, well, you know, because, sure. Judd, you often use hydrochloric acid. And
yeah, I mean, we do talk about acid additions in the wine business. Yeah, but not hydrochloric or whatever that is.
Sulfuric acid.
Yeah, like, you know, citric. They put that on candy, and it's not a big deal. Or tartaric. Anyhow, I like those kind of movies, though. Give me kind of a creepy premise and build it slowly, create this atmosphere. You don't have to jump out at me. You don't have to use loud noises.
There are some jump scares in House on Haunted Hill, though, when the young ingenue is in the cellar lurking around, and she turns around and finds the housekeeper behind her.
Okay.
There's a couple of things that are like, but they're quickly relieved.
Yeah, and I think that's why it doesn't stick with me, because it's not, they're not horrifying. It's like, you're right, it's a quick, like, ooh.
Creepy, yeah.
It's more like ooh, instead of it's a ooh. I'll tell you, there was a movie back in the early 2000s. This is not going deep. This was a huge success. Probably every horror film buff has seen, but The Ring.
Yeah.
Based on the Japanese Ringu,
right,
which I then went out and saw. I did like that. That had a lot of jump scares, but it also... It used a lot of sound, loud music, but it also did create this very creepy premise that built and built. It got very atmospheric. I probably spent more time looking at my box of Junior Mints than at the screen itself, but I still left there thinking, okay, that was a good horror movie. Like, I got what I needed out of that.
And
I was scared. I got a good story. I'm creeped out.
And there was some kind of disturbing what am I watching kind of moments, like the videotape, when they play the videotape and you see these different interconnected scenes.
I thought that was horrifying. Just the fact there was nothing particularly horrifying about what you're seeing, but the non sequitur aspect of
exactly.
it. Like, this must mean something horrific, and I don't know what it is.
And they do kind of put it together as a puzzle. It's almost like a rebus that they put together through the movie. You see the horses and the house and the well and all these things that they slowly piece together.
Right. And I like that. I thought that was very, very well done. Cool. Al.
Yes, sir.
What should we be thinking about? What else is out there? Either things that have stuck with you in the past or things you're excited to be showcasing on Screambox?
Yeah. You know, a movie that has really stuck with me for a number of years now is The Descent.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm claustrophobic, so it's a hard watch for me, but...
This is a group of...
Like Kelly said earlier, you know, it is a release in a sense.
Wait, I'm sorry, say that again, what's that?
It is like Kelly said earlier, it is a release in a sense. You know, I don't particularly like watching people crawl through tight spaces, but it is... you know, that's where the scares come from. You mentioned the slow build. I mean, this is a movie that, you know, the first half, it's just them spelunking or caving, if you will. And, you know, the fear comes from, you know, what's going to happen to them in these caves. Are they going to get stuck? Are they going to, you know, survive getting out of there? And then, you know, I won't spoil anything, but it kind of turns into something else. Even more terrifying. But movies like that, where you just like, you know, something that could actually happen, to me is, you know, like Jaws. I basically grew up in the water. So when I first saw Jaws, I thought, great, you know, I couldn't even get in the swimming pool without thinking about it. I mean, that's what scares me. Not so much, you know, I love the supernatural movies like Conjuring. Those are great. But ghosts and stuff doesn't really, freak me out. But if it's, you know, a few people showing up at my house, like in The Strangers, and saying, we're just here to kill you because you're the only ones who open the door.
Yeah. Things that could actually happen are terrifying.
Right. See, I never saw that movie, The Strangers, but I remember that line. I think it was in the trailer.
Yeah. And why that, us? That, and because you were home.
That
right,
freaked me out. Like, I don't want to see that movie. I know they use that as a selling point, but that completely did the opposite to me. Like, no, I'm not going to see that.
And that's one of those movies that I watch, and I'm like, okay, I'm good, because if that gets in my head, I'm never going to feel at home in my house again. You know? That's why I like monster movies, because I'm like, I'm reasonably certain that Frankenstein is not really going to kill me someday. You know, I mean, there's, you know, serial killer movies. You know, that could happen. So I get a little worried about that.
That being said, are there some of those genres that you might recommend?
Yeah. I mean, I love a great ghost story is great. My favorite
serial killers, like things like
serial killer movies.
Well,
I mean,
now we'll get into ghost stories in a bit. By the way, you guys have a little time. Can we hang for a bit?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So I'll explain to the audience what's going to happen. We've only got a couple minutes left in this show.
Oh wow!
So
by quick,
it's going to go by. If you're listening at home, thank you for listening. We'll have an official goodbye in a moment or two. We'll go on to the next program if you're listening. But then the three of us are going to keep talking. We'll record it, and we will. Maybe play it next week or the week after. We'll just continue the conversation.
Very cool. Yeah.
Good? Okay, great. I'm glad that that'll work out. Okay, serial killer films.
I mean, one of the most disturbing and class... I mean, that kind of ushered in the disturbing era, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oof.
Because, I mean, that...
Toby Hooper.
It sounds horrific. You know, Chainsaw... When you hear Chainsaw Massacre, you're like, okay, that's gonna hurt. But, you know, and then you get to the movie and it's actually very atmospheric and creepy and had some great sound design and sets. And when you hear the backstory about them making that movie, they made it in like the summer. So it was like swelteringly hot in Texas.
It looks
and it looked, I mean, they captured that.
It helps create that environment of dread, doom, and pain.
Yeah, and just the sudden things that happen in that movie that just, you're like, oh, you know, get out as quickly as you can.
You're going to have to remind me. I haven't seen that since I did do these Horror Fest days. So we're talking like 30 years ago. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie. And I know it got rebooted.
Right,
didn't
yeah.
it?
I think it's been rebooted a couple times now.
Okay, so. Well, we're talking about the original one. Tobe Hooper directed. Gunnar Hansen, I believe, correct. As Leatherface. Boy, I used to know all this stuff, and some of it has stuck. I recall it being scary, slightly disturbing, but even it, there was a bit of, you could laugh at some of it.
Yeah, there was, I mean, these characters, this family is just, they're berserk. These people are, like, insane, and they do these things just where, like, they get in these little squabbles and arguments. And at one point, I think, like, the kind of father figure chastises Leatherface, who is this hulking monster with other people's faces on his, wearing their skin. And this guy, and Leatherface goes over and kind of sulks and gets upset at himself.
Because his dad just, yelled at him.
Yeah, it's kind of like, geez. Yeah. I always get yelled at for doing things.
Oh, shucks.
And it's like, oh, poor, you find yourself going, oh, this, wait a minute, I'm not going to sympathize with this weirdo.
All right. We've got, that's a great place to break. We're going to end this show as far as the listeners are concerned. The three of us are going to keep talking and we'll air it. But we've got Kelly Doran, horror film buff, local artist here. You can see his artwork at kellydoran.blogspot.com, on Instagram at kelly.doran, and he's got an Etsy shop. You look up the name Good Drawer or Drawer.
Good Drawer.
Drawer.
And
I've
that
read
comes
that back.
From everybody when I was a kid used to say, oh, you're such a good drawer.
Drawer. That's so good. And Eyal Aloni from screenbox.com, look him up there. And if you send Screenbox a note via social media, chances are it's passing right by him. So say hi to Eyal. Guys, thanks.
Me too.
And hang on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you encounter a down power line, you need to stay away from it. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. PG&E will make the scene safe.
Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield, your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. The very finest in cars, SUVs, vans, local staff, locally owned. You want to head in and get a car, you find Danny, he'll sell you a car. Todd's in charge of vans. Crystal will help you out in the boutique, my favorite spot to hang out. And Justin, of course, the head of all sales. All fantastic people, locals, locally owned. Our owner lives right here in the Napa Valley. And of course, Christmas is coming. And that means you could get in there now and get a mini Mercedes-Benz electric vehicle or maybe a sled. They have so much to offer and a brand new remodeled showroom like none you've ever seen before. Just 15 minutes across Jameson Canyon. Hit Highway 80 North, jump off on Sassoon Parkway, and there you are. Head on in for a beautiful showroom full of beautiful people. It's Mercedes-Benz of Fairfield, your local Mercedes-Benz dealer.
The 2017 October wildfires severely affected our community. We gathered as a community.
This is Napa County Sheriff's Public Information Officer Henry Wolford. You're listening to KVON Napa.
I'm Nate Campbell, updating you on some stories we are following in the KVON newsroom. From the Press Democrat, a report shows a wide toll of the 2017 wildfires on the North Bay arts community. Nearly. I'm Nate.
I am. Still here.
All right, try this. Eyal? Can you
hear
me?
Hi. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, nope, that's the wrong one. If I put it in Q, will it record?
It should.
Are you there? Eyal?
Yep. Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. That seems to be working.
Okay.
So it was this button right here.
Just that one.
Yeah,
okay,
source.
Cool.
And
thank
then
you.
Put that back down.
I'll push
yeah,
it down.
Cool,
again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Did Lauren leave?
Lauren left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, we seem to be back. Kelly, you want to say something?
Oh, hello?
Keep talking.
Hi. Is it still picking up?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And Eyal, if you wouldn't just mind counting to five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right. That seems to all be working.
I'm still getting the commercials and stuff.
Oh, you're getting the commercials
yeah.
in there? Okay. Yikes. In that case, hold on one sec. Yeah.
There's probably something on your side.
Huh. In that case, I don't really know. Put that on and see if anything is. Well, that wouldn't do it, actually.
Okay, I'm not getting anything now.
Hey, Al, can you say a few more words?
One.
A few more words.
Are you hearing him in there?
No, I'm not.
Today? Okay, hold on. We're still not hearing you. I mean, I know you're talking, but could you say another thing, Al?
Another thing, Eyal. How are you guys doing?
I can't hear him.
You're not getting it? Okay, in that case, Kelly, why don't you move, bring your headphones and come over to this side. We'll just,
sure.
I think there's a second plug over there. All right, so we'll sit here.
Oh, I gotta shut the door.
Yeah, thanks. Joys of technology. Almost there, Al.
I'm here.
Okay. All right, we should be okay now. Are you hearing me okay, Al?
I hear you very well.
Okay, he hears me well. And Kelly, you got that microphone there. Make sure you can hear him.
And I can't hear you. Hello? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Do you hear that, Al?
I do.
Okay, he hears that, and did you hear his response?
Yes.
All right, let me, and Kelly, one more time, if you'd.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, great. In fact, since you were using this one before, let's just keep using this one.
Sure.
Okay, you might not hear me. I'm not hearing myself in my own phones, but I can see that it's recording, so that's okay. All right. let's pick up where we left off. Basically, in post-production, as they say, they'll put in the theme song and Lauren and all that stuff. So we'll just start the show again as far as introducing you guys. Ooh, that's fun sound.
Sorry.
And we're back talking horror films. We're continuing the conversation that we started in a previous episode. We have local artist Kelly Doran joining us. He's a horror film buff from way back. And via phone from Hollywood, California, Eyal Aloni, the programming and social media manager for Screambox.com. These are two guys who know their horror films. And boy, this is fun. I've really been enjoying talking with you guys. And where we left off in the last episode, we started talking about serial killer films and how, well, at least Kelly, you were talking about how you're not that into them because there's, it's almost like something could happen. You like the fantasy horror as far as like a Frankenstein monster who's quite fictional. There's really no danger of you running into Frankenstein.
Right. But the Thing, you know, John Carpenter's The Thing, you know, I mean, even, I mean, I'm not totally against serial killers because one of my favorite Halloween movies for this time of year is the original John Carpenter Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
It's, you know, which is getting not a reboot, but a new kickstart coming up.
Yeah,
they're coming out with a new movie that kind of, it kind of reboots everything. It comes from the premise that the first movie happened, then all of the subsequent sequels that came after, and even Rob Zombie's reboot of Halloween 1 and 2, those don't exist anymore. So there's the original Halloween, and now there's the new Halloween, which is coming out, which shows a older Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Is she going to be back?
Yes.
Oh, she is.
She is back, and she's older and a little bit PTSD
imagine.
Her occurrences, and she's kind of been waiting for the night eventually when Michael Myers comes back.
So she's prepared.
She's waiting for him.
Oh.
Yeah, and she has a family, and they're kind of thinking mom's a little bit nuts, and she's...
You have some insight into this?
And then the unspeakable happens, and he returns. Come back.
With the William Shatner mask? And
yep.
Okay. Eyal, you know something about this? You've got a...
There's nothing nuts about waiting for a killer to escape prison so you can kill him. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, she's waiting for the boogeyman. I would prepare, too. So.
Yeah, it's very sensible. I see where you're coming from there, Eyal. So hopefully that explains a bit of her psychological state. So that's a serial killer film that doesn't bother you so much. You're not really... No.
No, I love that one. I love the first Halloween, and my second runner-up, a lot of people hate, is the third Halloween movie, the one that has nothing to do with Michael Myers, which is the Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch, right? Yeah. I never saw it, but...
It's brilliant, because the whole idea was that John Carpenter wanted to... They made Halloween 1. It was for very little. It was very little money. And then I think the producer, Mustafa Akkad, said, hey, you know, we want to make a second movie. And he said, well, yeah, but I don't really want to go back to that well again. And they said, well, what if we let you do another movie after that that's your own idea for Halloween? And so he made number 2. And then number 3, when he did that, he had the idea... What about every year we do a new Halloween movie, but it has a different storyline? It has a different plot. So it'd be like an annual tradition, to me sounded like a great idea. So they did Halloween 3, which has to do with these horrific masks that are deadly. And it's this whole plot to bring back the ancient rites of the pagans. And it flopped. It was horrible. People didn't like it. They wanted Michael Myers, so they didn't go and see it. But it's actually a really good movie. And
so it might have been a victim of having a successful name. If they didn't bill it as Halloween, people might not have had the preconceived notion that
I
was
going
to have Michael Myers.
If they had done the first Halloween movie and then they had done Halloween 3 as another Halloween movie, and every year they had done that, I think on its own merit, people would know about Halloween 3 and would think, it's a good movie.
It's very polarizing. I don't recall exactly what I posted on our Facebook page that set this off, but there ended up being a very big argument in the comments section of this post between fans about whether Halloween 3 is amazing or awful. And people have very strong feelings about that one.
I think it's amazing, so I'm in the amazing camp. It's one of those movies I watch every year because it's just, it's, It's a perfect Halloween movie.
This is cool because horror fans, man, horror fans are horror fans.
Oh,
these
yeah.
are passionate people. And are there other instances like this where a movie – I mean, there must be where something comes out and there's just controversy. There's arguing back and forth. This is the best. This is the worst. They should have done this. They shouldn't have done that. How dare they mess with this character?
There are purists. There are purists, and I probably come down on that camp more than not, but there are purists that they like the atmospheric horror films. They don't require jump scares. They want a slow build. They like character-driven pieces.
See, that sounds
that
like me. Oh, keep going, though.
And then there's other people that are like, no, I want jump scares. I want something to jump out. And so atmospheric slow build horror films just leave them cold. Mm. One of my friends, movies that are slow and atmospheric, he's got no use for. And he likes them the trashier, the better. You know, he's
a grindhouse horror type stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he wants things that are just over the top, bad, something that you could almost see on Mystery Science Theater 3000, you know,
but he would watch it and enjoy it unironically.
And
y'all, when you're programming Screambox, you must have to take all this into account, you know, your various audience tastes. How does that work?
Well, you know, we have surveyed our audience, and so we know what people tend to like the most, which is supernatural and slasher tend to be the top categories. You know, obviously, we want to spread it around. You're going to please everyone, but that's usually when I'm looking for material, and I usually start there. We've asked them questions about what they, you know, what they don't like. I mean, you'd be surprised. I was surprised to find out that like, you know, the 90s, people aren't as excited about the horror movies that came out like late 90s, early 2000s.
Which would have been what? You know, give me a couple examples what those would have been.
Well, this would be after Scream, because people still like that one.
Okay.
I believe that was, and then Kelly can correct me, but I think it was late 90s.
Yeah, I think it was. And are you talking about movies like I Know What You Did Last Summer and things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I haven't asked why that is, that they're not as in love with those movies. But I think, again, you know, because our site is sort of catering to a very, very, you know, diehard type of fan that takes horror seriously, that maybe, you know, a movie like I Know What You Did Last Summer, that's not, which I personally really like, but, you know, they might not find that, might not even consider it horror in some cases.
I think some fans, that 90s vibe in horror films is because they started almost leaning towards like PG-13 horror. It's when studios started thinking like, well, if we make it PG-13, if we cut down on the sex, if we cut down on the overt gore, we can get this in more theater screens.
And
this will get more viewers. And it did. It was, those movies were really popular with like teenagers, but then you've got like those teenagers grow up and they've seen that stuff before and they're like, no, and now I've seen these other movies that are just over the top, and that's kind of where they gravitate to now.
So around that time, things got a little watered down to the horror purists to appeal to a wider audience. But Eyal, you were saying that supernatural and slasher seem to be the big categories for Screambox. Are there some examples of films that you particularly enjoy in those, or that are just generally popular on Screambox? Maybe a couple of your personal picks in the supernatural and slasher, and then maybe beyond maybe what might be your taste, but just what seems to really get your audience going, or maybe they're the same. You tell me.
I'll tell you. there's a number of them. Let's see. I could go on for a while, but
I'm sure. That's why I've got you here, man. You're the expert.
You know what we have? Do you remember the House movies? House and House 2 with George Wendt?
Yeah. Those are good ones.
Those are good ones, and they're pretty popular on our site.
I don't know these. What's the premise of these? Eyal, you want
to? You know, it's about a house.
Okay. Now what else you got? That sounds great. I'll watch it.
Haunted House.
They were kind of trying to get new life into like the old idea of like a haunted house story. And both, if I remember correctly, like they House and House 2 have nothing to do with each other. They're kind of like separate individual stories set in a different haunted house. But they had like kind of, they came on the heels of like the Gremlins movies and Ghostbuster. So they had like these wild special effects, practical special effects makeup with like strange monsters and creatures. And they're entertaining films for when they came out. They've got some great special effects in them and great kind of transitions. And
did I hear George Wendt?
Yeah. He was in the second movie, I think. No, he was in the first movie.
Well, Norm.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Norm yeah, he from was Cheers. In the first wow. one.
And then actually it's funny because John Ratzenberger, the guy that played
Cliff Clavin,
he was That's in the right. second film.
I'm writing that one down.
Bill Maher was in the second one as
That's
well.
That's right. Bill Maher was in that.
Okay, writing these down. Are they worth?
They're good. They're of that era, the 80s era. They're kind of fun. They've got some humor in them, so you'd probably get that. They've got some suspense and a little bit of gore, but they're entertaining, fun. They're actually good, but Halloween movies. They're
great. What else seems to float folks' boat there on Screambox? So, I mean, you mentioned House 1 and 2. Are you saying those are popular? Like, are people really flocking to that, these old ones? Or
Yeah, those are popular. We have the original, The Eye, which is popular. We have a movie right now called An American Ghost Story. It's a 2012 movie that's popular right now. It's about an unemployed writer who decides to rent a house that may be haunted. You know, you've probably heard that premise before, but it's well done and pretty popular with the audience. And we also have, remember the Masters of Horror series from 05 to 07? So we've got that whole series on our site.
Yeah, there were some good ones in that.
Yeah, there are some gems in that. And you know, for those who don't know, it was a TV show where each episode was directed by a different luminary from the horror world.
One was John Carpenter. I think he did one called Cigarette Burns.
Right,
and
exactly.
Mick Garris did one. I think
Toby Hooper.
Yes,
Don Coscarelli. So
and Dario Argento as well.
Yeah,
Argento got one of those. That's called Masters of Horror.
Yeah,
and that's available on your service there. Screenbox?
All the episodes are on Screenbox, yeah.
Ooh, you know, I need to see some of those. I keep hearing people bring that up in the context of horror, and I've been out of my horror movie watching for so long until I devised this show, and just in the past week or 10 days, I've tried to bone up on it. No pun intended, bone, skeleton, get it, horror. Anyway, that's cool. Those are good tips. I'm writing these down. Masters of Horror, thank you.
And I'd also have to throw out there... a movie called Hell Baby.
Ooh. Sounds fun.
2013, starring Leslie Bibb and Rob Corddry.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember seeing that one. It had some of the members of the state comedy troupe in that, too. I think, Thomas Lennon
he's
might
good.
Have been in it.
Hell Baby.
Hell Baby. Now, a couple, calls on the services of... the Vatican's elite exorcism team to save them from their own baby, their own demonic baby. That's always good.
Is this a good double feature with Thanksgiving?
I think so.
Okay. I need to put up a whammy. All right. I want to talk a little bit about, it sounds like Hell Baby might be a little tongue in cheek. Is that safe to say?
A little.
Is there some humor in there? Because I would like to talk about comedy horror as well.
Horror definitely has its place. There's a great Irish movie that came out a couple of years ago called Grabbers. That is a great, it takes place on this little island. It's kind of got nods to Jaws. It's got nods to Alien. American Werewolf in London. It's
now that really straddles the line, though. American Werewolf in London has a lot of funny parts, but that is a serious horror film.
Oh yeah,
it's scary as heck.
Yeah,
with great Oscar-winning special effects.
Oh yeah, Rick Baker's
transformation of David Naughton from ordinary dude to werewolf is extraordinary.
Yeah,
that
was another movie that kind of took an old genre of like the werewolf story and kind of gave a little bit new life into it and tried to like imagine you got attacked by a wolf and you found out you were a werewolf. How would you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you be the Lon Chaney Jr. just moping around the moors waiting to turn into a werewolf? Or would you be in denial? Would you just like, nope, not happening to me. Nope. I'm just going to continue being a backpacking.
Yeah. Try to lead your life.
Yeah. Try and lead your life until it just completely consumes you. But it's got some great humor and, you know, talk about a movie that's got some great music in it too. They use pretty much every song, pop song that you like, Blue Moon, Bad Moon Rising. It's great when those songs come on, and the whole comedy of his best friend coming back from the dead to kind of encourage him to get rid of the
Griffin
curse.
Dunn. He's grotesque every time he comes back. He's more and more decomposed as a corpse, but offers comedic relief.
Yeah.
At the same time. John Landis, man, great directing in that one. Now I want to talk about werewolf movies, but we started with comedy, so let's come back to werewolf. Hey, y'all, any other good comedic horror? I'm gonna mention one because I don't get a chance to sit down and watch a lot of movies. For some reason, I seem to just be a busy guy with the wine business, especially this time of year with harvest and family obligations. I just rarely sit down. So it was maybe a year ago. I finally was just in front of the TV. Nobody else was in the house. Like, I'm going to turn off the computer. I'm going to check out. I'm watching a movie. And I started flipping through the choices, I don't remember if it was Amazon or Netflix, one of those. And I saw a film, came up. I was like, oh, yeah, I heard about this. I don't remember what I heard, but I remember the guys were interviewed, and it sounded fun. And I like the comedic show Flight of the Conchords, and you know what I'm talking about now.
Yes, I do.
And it's What We Do in the Shadows. So I said,
I just watched that, like, so I think the night before last.
It has Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords and how do you pronounce his name?
Taika Waititi.
Thank you.
Taika Waititi. He's the director of Thor Ragnarok.
He directed Thor Ragnarok. He directed several of the Flight of the Conchords. New Zealand actor, writer, comic genius. And they teamed up and made a comedic vampire movie called What We Do in the Shadows. And it has become, honestly, just one of my favorite movies.
It's not just one
of my favorite horror comedy, whatever you want to call it. It's just a great movie. It is so funny.
Yeah, it's great. And my wife hates horror movies.
Oh, yeah?
I love that one.
I was laughing so hard, I was crying at some points. And I was alone watching this. Usually I need energy of an audience to like get me that riled up about a movie. But this did it. And the way they took some of the classic tropes of vampire legend lore and movies.
The romantic vampire.
Right. Exactly. They had some of the stereotypes of the types of vampires. They used some of the things that vampires can and can't do to comedic effect, like you have to be invited in. And there's a scene where they want to go into a nightclub, and they keep asking the bouncer, ask us in. He's like, can I see? He's whatever. He's like, let me see your IDs. No, you have to invite us in. No. He's like, they can't get in. It's just funny, funny stuff. So that's my big recommendation and pick is What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, that is a classic movie. It's got the great lines. It's like, our friend has just had a fatal sunlight accident. And one of my favorite lines that gets me is when they're having a flatmates meeting, and he's trying to get the other ones to be more careful about when they drain their victims of blood, that they don't get blood everywhere. So, put down some newspapers or something. And he's all like, the other day, like my couch. And Jemaine Clement goes, you mean the red one? He goes, well, it's red now.
Yeah. I could go on and on. There's so many great lines in that one. But I don't want to give too much away because I want folks to go see it. It is It's really fun. What We Do in the Shadows. That's Judd's pick of the day this Halloween season. Other comedic, I mean, there's obvious, you know, spoofs and parodies we've seen. Of course, you know, Young Frankenstein, absolute yeah. genius Mel Brooks film, early 70s.
It's another one I watch every October because it just gets me in the mood for Halloween because I love that movie.
It's a beautiful movie. It's so yeah. perfectly made to be... I mean, a love letter to the era, oh, yeah. the genre. It's incredible.
He used Mel Brooks used some of the actual equipment from the original Frankenstein laboratory scenes.
I believe it.
They found them in storage and pulled them out and got them working for the laboratory.
Well, it looks like this yeah. should be a 1930s movie. The way
oh yeah,
the way it's lit, the way it's filmed,
it's shot
the props.
In black and white, and it's the music is exactly on point. So. That's a great one.
Young Frankenstein. Other funny horror films we should be thinking about?
I would highly recommend Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That is a good one, too.
Hold on. I'm taking notes as we're talking, by the way. What's that one called? Tucker and Dale?
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yep.
And it's, with, it's a great twist on the, you know, group of college kids go into the woods and, you know, encounter the killer hillbillies. Although in this case, it turns it on its head where the hillbillies are a couple of really, you know, sweet, affable guys. And the college students mistake them for killers. And so it's the college students that are the bad guys.
Okay.
And the hillbillies are the good guys. And there's a lot of great just physical comedy. Like, you know, one of the college kids, they keep, you know, like accidentally getting killed. Like one of the college kids trips and impales himself on a branch.
Oh dear!
You know, and the other kids see it and say, "Oh my God, we're in a fight for our lives. We have to stop these hillbillies."
And the poor hillbillies—they just want to have a—they just want to have a hunting weekend. And
right, these, right.
These kids—they start mistaking the kids for like some sort of suicide cult. Yeah. They're all trying to kill themselves. It's a pretty good one.
Okay, I've got that one written down. Now, something I have not seen, but maybe you guys have, I'd like to hear about it because just haven't had a chance yet, but I keep hearing about it's supposed to be really good. It's a TV series. I forget which cable channel, but one of my favorite comedians and writers, Dana Gould, is behind it, and Stand Against Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Is it worth my time?
It's pretty good. It's kind of a twist on the Salem witch trials. This mm-hmm. town is under the curse of a witch that was killed back, you know, centuries before.
Uh-huh.
And she has dictated that every sheriff in this town will die a horrible fate. And I think it's John McGinley.
Yeah, yeah,
from,
he's the sheriff.
Scrubs. He's the previous sheriff, and there's a new sheriff. He's retired.
Oh,
and he finds
he
out that yeah, he finds out that there's this real supernatural undercurrent going through the town, and he reluctantly finds himself having to fight this. And he's a very gruff, no nonsense. I just want to sit down and watch football and have a beer, and I got to keep on dealing with this stuff.
This is nonsense.
And it's pretty humorous.
Okay. I think Dana Gould is a brilliant comedian and comedic writer.
He's
in it too. Okay. I keep hearing about it. So that's going in the queue. That's Stan Against Evil, not yeah. Stand. The guy's right. name is Stan, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Stan.
Stan Against Evil. Okay, cool. Comedy horror. There's some good picks there. Shall we, do you want to tackle some subgenres? You want to talk about werewolves? You want to talk about vampires? You want to talk about ghosts?
A good, fun movie that you might like. It's if you like comedy horror, is a couple years ago they came out with Cabin in the Woods, which is another movie that kind of twists and flips that whole script of the teens going out for a drunk weekend, coming up against unspeakable evil, and it's. You think you know where that movie's going, and then it keeps throwing you curveballs.
Now, Cabin in the Woods, this one, I seem to recall it got the advertising. I haven't seen it. Made it seem like just a horrific, torturous.
Yeah,
horrible movie that I probably wouldn't want to see. But Eyal, you vehemently agreed when Kelly said Cabin in the Woods. So what sparks your love of that movie?
I mean, what I love most about it would be too big of a spoiler.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind.
But it is, I mean, it will surprise you. It's just so clever what they did with it.
I've told people before that theoretically Cabin in the Woods is the movie that every other horror film that has ever existed takes place within that world.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Good way of putting it.
All right. I put a little star by that one. Kelly, you're very nice to print out a list of some of your favorite movies and genres.
Yeah, I just started.
That's on there, so I just put a little arrow by that. okay, so would that go under what subgenre would that be? I don't know the movie, so let's talk about whatever
it
that might
be. A horror spoof in a way, because it would kind of be the killer in the woods subgenre.
Okay,
because it definitely, you know, it's about college students going out to the woods for a weekend in a cabin that looks exactly like the cabin from Evil Dead. And they
definitely
kind of
worth
stumble
mentioning.
Upon this just insane premise than that movie. I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah, don't give it away. Just
it's a good movie.
Let's just steer people there.
Yeah, it's definitely a cabin in the woods. That's why they named it the Cabin in the Woods, is because it's the Cabin in the Woods subgenre. But it's
okay.
It's got a little bit of everything in it.
And you were saying something, Eyal, about that? It sounded like you were finishing
a
thought.
Just with regard to the title, I mean, it's exactly what Kelly said. I mean, it's sort of this all-encompassing horror film. I hesitate to say too much about
Okay, then we can move on.
I love the third act is all I'll say.
All right, hang on. Just hang on. Not you hang on. I'm just saying if you're watching the movie, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on till you get to the third act.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the greatest third acts I've seen in a horror film or any film, rather. Very entertaining.
Say no more. Kelly looks like he wants to say something. I'm going to stop him. I don't usually put a finger up to my guest to not talk, but I don't want to know anymore. But you did mention Evil Dead, which you have to. Any self-respecting show about horror films has got to mention Evil Dead. It's got the cabin in the woods. It's got a chainsaw.
Get over the top.
It's got supernatural. It's got blood. It's got
humor. It's got the Necronomicon. It's, you know, the...
It's got it all. and it's fun, and it's funny. It's very tongue-in-cheek. It knows what it is, and it's kind of winking at you the whole time.
Yeah, the first Evil Dead movie was almost done kind of fairly seriously. It was that cabin in the woods, you know, the kids going out, and they confront unspeakable evil out in the woods. But then the second movie, I think that's when Sam Raimi realized, you know, it's almost like a reboot of his first film, where he was given money by a studio. They said, we want this to be the start of something bigger.
Mm.
And so they gave him money. So he rebooted his premise to carry it into the future. And then the third one, Army of Darkness, is just crazy, and Bruce Campbell is brilliant as Ash.
Yeah.
He's just not the hero you want, but he's the hero you have.
And does he now have isn't there a series based on Ash?
There was a series. It was on for a while, Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Mm.
And I think it's done now.
Okay. So. But probably worth checking out. Eyal, where should we go now? We're doing dealer's choice. You're the dealer. You're the horror movie dealer, so your choice.
if we're still on the comedy,
sure.
I want to throw out Teeth.
Teeth.
You heard of this one, Joe?
Yes, I have. I've heard about it.
I haven't. What is Teeth?
So Teeth is about a teenage girl who is coming into her own, I guess.
I'm interested to see how you're going to skirt around this one for radio.
I'm starting to regret I brought this up.
Oh dear. I'm already getting a vibe by that. Like, are there should I guess? No, I don't want to guess because it might reveal some twisted form of my imagination. Saying? Are there teeth somewhere they shouldn't be?
Yes, there are teeth somewhere
Somewhere where there should not be teeth.
Okay. Jeez.
That give her an advantage in against overly enthusiastic boys. Let's put it that way.
Okay, okay. And you're saying this is a comedic film?
It is comedic.
Okay.
Maybe not to you as a guy.
No, I can. You know what?
I find it terrifying.
Look, if it has anything to do with. Yeah, you're right. This is a tough topic to talk about. Let me put it this way.
I apologize.
No. I'm going to put it this way. There is a scene. There was a movie that Kelly had recommended, and I checked it out, called The Blood on Satan's Claw from 1971.
Oh, wow.
Which I was really digging. It takes place in, I think, like the 1600s in England, and this evil kind of overtakes a village. And again, slow build, atmospheric. I was digging it. And then there is a scene which it has, a man forcing himself on a woman in a violent way. I guess it doesn't matter. It's always violent when someone's forcing themselves. So it's just kind of redundant at that point. And that at that point, I kind of like withdrew from the story. I just don't care to see that. But I could see in that case with teeth, the woman could have had her revenge, I suppose, in a way. Is that what I'm led to believe is the premise here with this movie, Teeth?
I'm sorry, say it again?
It doesn't matter. It's time to take a break anyway. We'll be right back talking horror films with horror movie buff Kelly Doran and via phone Eyal Aloni of Screambox.com. So stick with us. And that's all we really need to do at the moment. We can come right back. Let me just take a look at the time. We want to come back on. Okay, got it. Excuse me. Okay, and we're back talking horror films with Kelly Doran and Eyal Aloni. Kelly is a local Napa institution here, loves horror movies. He's a buff. He's the expert to talk to in town. He's an artist, and you can see some of his art at kellydoran.blogspot.com. That's kellydoren.blogspot.com. And on Instagram, at kelly.doran. Oh, and Etsy, because you create things, too, that people can buy. So Etsy, look for Good Drawer, which looks like drawer. That's why I read it originally. My apologies, but I knew it was drawer because you're an artist. And via phone, Eyal Aloni is the programming and social media manager of Screambox.com. So if you want to contact him, I suppose anything that goes through social media to Screambox, you're gonna see it, Eyal. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll see it. They can contact me through there. Just message me through Facebook or Twitter, I'll see anything in the comments section too.
Okay. Good to know. So anything we're talking about, you could comment to Eyal. I'm sure he would love to hear from you and continue the conversation. I don't know where this really falls, but a movie I watched, it's kind of a cult one I've heard about for years, and just only this past week popped it on finally. 1962, Carnival of Souls. You know this one?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? Should we talk about it a little bit?
Yeah.
I had mixed feelings about it.
Really?
Well, I think because I've heard about it for so long, I thought there might have been a little more for me. And to be honest, I liked some of the atmosphere. It's definitely the slow build. You're not really sure what direction it's going. There's some twists along the way, which are fun. But this is going to sound odd. I think my favorite part of that movie was just seeing the scenery of 1962, this small town. It was filmed in Kansas, and you kind of see where she's running, the woman, she's frightened, and she's running down the streets from time to time in broad daylight, and you see the barbershop she passed, and you see the diner and the cars. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm seeing 1962, pretty realistically.
There's
I liked that.
Great visuals in that movie, because I think the pavilion where she goes.
I did.
That was out on the, it was out in Utah.
That's in Utah.
They filmed that. That was on the Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And it ended up, I think, burning down a couple of years later.
It was an amusement park called Salt Air that had been abandoned and apparently was the inspiration. Herc Harvey was the director. I did a little reading, did a little research. He had directed dozens, if not hundreds, of films, but they were all institutional and educational films.
This
was his only feature that he ever produced. And he said he was just driving through Utah, I think, to film something and saw this abandoned carnival amusement park type place. And it inspired him to write this story. And I think, I forget, they shot it within, you know, a few weeks.
Yeah.
And he himself is uncredited and plays the, well, the woman is the main character, but
right.
In some ways he's sort of the protagonist because he sort of keeps driving the action along. He never speaks or anything, but he's this vision that she keeps seeing of this
creepy
the man, they called him.
Man.
Ghost man. That's him.
Oh, wow. I never realized that was him.
That's the famous Herc Harvey. But tell me what you guys got out of this movie. I won't even get into the acting or whatnot. Anyway, let's hear you guys talk.
It's an interesting movie because it's very atmospheric. It's very kind of low key at times where it's just kind of, it's almost, it's very dreamlike.
Very.
So it's kind of one of those movies. It's not, there are some kind of disturbing, kind of creepy imagery, but it's the type of movie that I could just put on and just kind of mellow out to. It's not like a, you know, it's not a shocker. It's not something that's going to amp my pulse up. But it's just artistically, it's an interesting movie. It's an interesting visual. I'd like to see more movies that have those kind of dreamlike visuals in them.
Okay. Eyal, Carnival of Souls?
You know, not one of my, not my top 20, probably.
Okay.
But what I've heard is that there is great scenery from 1962 in it.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that. I totally like cut out there. I mean, you said something profound and I missed it. Yeah, I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh man.
Oh, was it landing a punchline? Oh shit. Hold on. We'll fix it in editing. Okay, we've just cut where it cut out and there was no reaction. Eyal, Carnival of Souls?
Yes, I've heard there's great scenery from 1962 in it.
Yes, there is. I love that. You and I are on the same wavelength.
If you were recommending this movie, Judd, you would say if there's any movie about 1962,
go see Carnival of Souls.
Encapsulates that era.
This is sort of like a precursor to. It makes me think of Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Oh yeah,
that I like that movie.
Speaking
too.
Of carnival horror,
yeah.
Interesting side note: Herc Harvey also directed an episode of Reading Rainbow.
Really?
How do you like that? I don't know which episode, but that's homework for our listeners and you guys.
That's great range.
Yes, exactly. I like that. All right, I want to get into like spooky stuff, like ghosts. I mean, we've been Carnival of Souls has kind of a ghostly atmosphere, and I think that'll transition into ghost story type movies.
Okay,
I like ghost movies. I think
you too.
What are some that you guys are into?
If you want to go.
Hey, y'all, you got some ghostly films?
The Other is one of my favorites. It has, again, you know, try not to spoil it, but love the atmosphere of that. Well, I tend to like period pieces, too. So that one, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, World War I?
Yes.
Is when it takes place.
It's with Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
Oh yeah, what's it?
Right.
Say the Others.
The Others. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. You don't want to say too much about that one.
Yeah.
I have seen that. Is good.
Not.
That really gives you this sense of foreboding and unease, and there's a good twist.
A couple of good ones that I love are The Orphanage, which is
That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah, a Spanish film. It was produced by Guillermo del Toro. It's a heartbreaker.
I don't want to see it then.
At the very end of that, if you're not in tears at the end of that movie, you're not human.
Okay, well, I am human, and I will cry.
And not tears of fear, emotion.
Yeah, who needs
and
that?
And then I also love, a lot of people haven't seen it, but it was a 90-minute movie that was done, I believe, in 1992 on British television. It was called Ghost Watch.
Oh, I
have you ever seen that?
No, but I've just heard about this. That was kind of like a modern War of the Worlds. Like
yes,
people
it was.
Freaked out and barrage the BBC.
It was the premise of Ghostwatch is that this TV show is going to investigate one of the most haunted houses in Britain. And it's not a creepy estate, you know, creepy old castle. It's a council house. It's like just basically tract housing.
And it's presented as if this is a
If it's an actual live broadcast on Halloween. And yeah,
from the BBC, they sent like a couple actual presenters that people would have known, and that they weren't like actors.
It really fooled people because people, you know, in like Michael Parkinson is one of their news anchors there, very well respected. Sarah Green, morning show host, very well respected. And these people played themselves. And they slowly throughout the show, this haunting is revealed to be really real. And insidious, and it just infects everything about this broadcast. And it's genuinely creepy when you realize that there's this ghost that pops up in the background throughout the broadcast.
Oh, yeah?
And it's when you...
Ooh, I got goosebumps. I got... You did it. Okay, we have a winner. That gave me goosebumps right there.
When you watch it and you know that this ghost is there and you start to see this these kind of little... Easter eggs in the background, it gives you the willies. It's actually a pretty creepy show, and it really people got very upset because even though they said at the very beginning this is a work of fiction, because they had these actual broadcasting people, people thought they were watching something real, and when everything starts to fall apart on the show, people got terrified and they started calling the BBC, and the BBC actually had a little thing that when you called into their line, they would explain, this is all fiction. It's been pre-recorded, but because of the volume of calls, nobody got that message.
Oh, they were overwhelmed.
They got a busy signal.
Oh no, that's even worse.
Yeah. So they had to go on and apologize, and they've never rebroadcast it again.
Is it out there? It's called Ghost Watch, right?
You can find it at different places. It's on some streaming services, but it's worth it. I like it. I really do like it. Okay. And I think I like it because it's one of these things that almost has a legendary, you know, it's people have heard about it, but they haven't seen it. And I recommend it.
Cool. I'll look for it. I might absolutely not make it through, but I'll look for it. You want to talk about some filmmakers as opposed to actual films, like some of the directors or producers or writers that you think are worth exploring their portfolio, their oeuvre, you know what I'm saying? Stuff they done.
Yeah. I love
and
John Carpenter.
And pop in as well, please. I know I'm looking right at Kelly, but I want to hear from you. John Carpenter.
He's great. I don't know how you feel about John Carpenter's stuff. I mean,
I'm fine with it. I haven't really explored in quite some time, but I'm trying to think the last thing I saw, I mean, years and years ago was The Fog. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. Another ghost story. If you think about it, it's ghosts coming back for a vengeance.
Mm. Okay, John Carpenter. And Eyal,
you know, it's going to be an easy one because it's very recent, but James Wan, I really have... come to respect his work quite a bit. So he, for those who don't know, did the Conjuring movies.
The which one? I'm sorry?
The Conjuring.
Conjuring, yeah.
He's a producer on the Swamp Thing TV series that's coming out next year.
Huh.
He also did Insidious and the Saw films. Although I could not get past maybe the third Saw film. After
those get a little rough.
After three of those, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I've not partaken of any of them. Again, I think it's that whole torture pain stuff.
The first one is pretty good because it kind of flips. It's got a great like zinger at the end.
All right,
you're not expecting.
All right, I'm not gonna watch it, but still don't spoil it. Okay, so and who else is worth exploring?
I like Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
He's an interesting director. He did the Hellboy movies, which are more action fantasy, but he's also, I mean, like I said, he produced the Orphanage, He did the movies Mimic, which are kind of good, creepy monster movies. He also did, he kind of kickstarted the whole superhero movie franchise by doing Blade back in the '90s with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah,
but he also did Pan's Labyrinth.
Sure.
Devil's Backbone is a really good ghost story. And he just recently did Crimson Peak. He's very much, he likes ghosts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, Guillermo del Toro. Al, ping ponging back to you.
Speaking of Swamp Thing, Wes Craven.
Sure.
You know, I love Nightmare on Elm Street. The Last House on the Left is just...
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty hard-hitting movie that I guess, you know, not necessarily... I don't know. Some people might not say it's a horror film in the traditional sense of the word. Maybe more of a thriller, but it's brutal. That's a good one to check out.
You know, I remember watching that in one of my horror fests, 30-something years ago. But for the life of me, I can't really recall the plot or the action or anything that really happens in it.
Yeah, it's... Well, go ahead.
Or you know what? We can just leave it at that. Let's just leave it. I will go re-examine. I'd rather spend time...
being too deferential.
Yeah, let's keep exploring.
I can't... I'm so bad with remembering the director's names, but there's a pair. They're not brothers, but they just did a movie called The Endless, which they actually star in. They're the directors too, but they star in, and they also did a movie called Resolution and a movie called Spring. And I their names have completely fallen out of my head, but there's this directing duo, and they have done some of the more original suspenseful genre films recently.
Oh, wow. So. Okay, well, I'll look for some of those. We have done an amazing job, either purposefully or not purposefully, of not even mentioning the name Stephen King, and we don't need to start now. That's okay, because I think he's so out there, people are aware, but it just dawned on me.
Stephen King, you've been living in a hole somewhere.
It just dawned on me. Right. We haven't touched on any of these. I'll mention an actor, and again, nothing new for folks in the horror genre, but Vincent Price. I just can't get enough Vincent Price. That dude just to me exudes what it is to be he's got it all.
Suave.
He can be suave, classy, charming, menacing,
intimidating.
He's got it all, and I dig just about anything I've ever seen. Again, House on Haunted Hill, which I just mentioned, of course.
Last Man on Earth.
Jinx, you owe me a Pepsi or Coke or something. Last Man on Earth. Was that a Richard Matheson short story?
Yes, short story.
On Richard Matheson's short story about a man who's the last man on Earth. Everybody else is
human
turned into vampires.
Yep.
And that's got a fun twist at the end, and it's pretty horrifying, and it's been remade several times as Omega Man with Charlton Heston.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people love Omega Man, but I love that original one with Vincent Price just because it's black and white, creepy, and he's carrying the whole movie by himself. I mean, he's
the last man.
Yeah, so he's got to do it all himself. And I mean, the Abominable Dr. Fibes movies.
Oh yeah,
talk about over the top, weird horror films with humor. There's humor in there, but it's just, what am I watching?
Oh, that is good stuff. All right, we've only got a couple minutes. It's hard to believe that it goes by this quickly. So
it's been great.
I would love to give you each a minute or so to just say what you want to say. You know, closing thoughts about the genre of horror, some last-minute tips, whatever it is you want to talk about. So, Kelly, why don't you start us off?
I love horror films, and I just enjoy digging into, like, finding those little gems, the gems of that just, I mean, they may not be for everybody, but I've got my list of my favorites, and, you know, I can get in arguments or debates with people about them, but, I mean, there's something there with horror films. They're fun. They might terrify you, But I think that's part of the human condition. It's just part of being alive, is that you like, some people like being startled and scared. Some people don't. I'm one of the people that likes being scared, and horror films are, they're just, I'm always going to be a big fan of them. So
cool. I just enjoy a good story. So whether it's, it's a horror film, a comedy film, a drama, as long as it's a good story and I'm pulled into it, you got me, and I'm cool. You can scare me a few times along the way.
Yep.
Again, just I don't like that over
the gore,
the torture, yeah. Gore. I used to be okay, more okay with gore. Again, Fangoria magazine. I think I had a subscription as a teenager.
Which is now it's coming back.
Is it?
It went away for a while, and now it's coming back.
All right, I'll look for that. Eyal, your take on all this?
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, my voice is starting to go. Battling this cold.
it's been a spooky. No, it's a spooky cold.
A little bit of water here.
Okay. In the meantime,
it's got that creaky voice.
I hope.
I know it's. I'm just trying to add to the atmosphere. I would just say, you know, I think horror movies are really all about the same thing, which is, you know, fear of not being in control or fear of losing control. You know, whether it's, you know, in Jaws, you know, specifically, it's fear, you know, the main character, Chief Brody, is afraid of the water, or, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, the fear of falling asleep and bad dreams, or I think I talked about The Descent. That's obviously fear of tight spaces, and there's plenty of movies about you know, fear of isolation or bullying. Carrie, Let the Right One In is a great one. But all, you know, no matter what the specific fear is or phobia is, they're really all about losing control. And I agree with what Kelly said at the beginning of the show, that that's really why I think it's a release for people. You know, we all try to every day, you know, steadfastly remain in firm control of our lives. And, you know, you get into a horror movie for a couple hours, and it can be uncomfortable, but at the same time, it taps that feeling that, I don't know, for some sick reason, I guess, that we, you know, we don't necessarily experience very often in real life, but it taps that feeling for a couple hours, and, you know, the sickos in us enjoy it, I guess. And along that line, I mean, the ultimate not being in control movie, I just want to throw this out there.
Sure.
A movie from a French horror movie from 2007 called Inside. I could barely get through it. I can stand a lot of things. This was, I'm throwing it out there because, you know, maybe there are people who want to make a wager with each other if it can actually get to the end without fast forwarding, which I actually had to fast forward.
Oh no!
I just wanted to know what happened at the end, but I got to a point where I just couldn't get through it. It is a home invasion movie.
Oof.
Two guys directed. Their names are Mori and Bustillo. They went on to direct the Texas Chainsaw Origin movie Leatherface, which I don't think got a theatrical release, but I think is on demand. But these guys, and this is a movie about a woman who wants another woman's unborn child. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
It is the most brutal thing I've ever seen. And so if you like to test yourself when it comes to horror films, this is a good place to start and end.
Endurance test?
Yeah, I for one probably won't cue that one up, but good to know for others out there who like things a little more extreme than I.
Being real-life horror isn't my biggest, you know, joy. I probably will miss that one too, but...
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to say it's been tons of fun, really.
Thank you.
I'm going to listen back to this show and make every day Halloween. And I thank you both for joining me. Kelly
thank
Doran
you.
Here in the studio, and Eyal Aloni via telephone. If you want to reach Eyal, he is the programming and social media manager of Screambox.com. So just get on Screambox's social media and you'll find Eyal. He'll He'll talk to you about horror films. And Kelly Doran, local artist, horror movie buff. And you can find him, once again, his blog with 31 Days of Monsters. You draw a different monster every day for the month of October. KellyDoran.blogspot.com. And your Instagram at Kelly.Doran. And your Etsy shop where your creations can be found. Go to Etsy and look for Good Drawer. Guys.
Thank you.
I've had a blast. I mean, I could keep going and going and going, but I got to let you go to back to work. I should probably get something productive done, although as far as I'm concerned, this day is made. This day is made. Thank you both for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, what a pleasure. And I guess that's that.
Cool.
So,
thank you.
He hung up. Okay, great. Turn that off.